Hello and welcome to another episode of My Opinion Means Nothing. This week, guys, I am joined, like promised, by some of the Marcel's Paradise lot. By some, I mean two guys, the director and one of my co-stars. Director's name is Justin Charles, and my co-star, you know him because he's been on the show before, his name is Dante Nicholas Lindsay. So hello guys, welcome.
What's up? This is amazing.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Not too bad.
It's been a very, very, very long day.
How so, man? Like, what, you've been working in it?
Yeah, I had a premiere to do today in Brixton.
It's okay.
For the new documentary for Dr. Dre.
Wait. So, when you say your premiere, where do you work? You work for a cinema? Or?
I work for this company called Pace Prestige, and they're a security company, and they cover, like, 80%. Of the premieres that happen in London.
Okay.
So we do corporate work, theatres, screenings, and all of that, so...
That's cool.
Yeah, we covered that today. Right. It was really good.
You ever had to rough someone up?
It happens.
Oh, yeah.
It does happen, but...
Where's that story?
You know what? Will.i.am came through today.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Jimmy Iovine came through, Dr. Dre, his wife, his daughter. It was cool.
I saw that smile cool. perk up yeah, when you cool. said Dr. Dre's wife. Shout out to Dr. Dre.
Yeah. No, but it was cool. It was really, really fun today. Just a long day today.
That's cool, man. What about you, Dante, man?
Recovery week, mate. Recovery week. But I've done two plays in one day on Saturday.
Was that like a matinee and an evening performance?
Yeah, matinee and an evening. So all together, like, we performed to like about 300 people. Wow. So
how
was 150
that? 150 sold out. How was that? What was one of them was Growing Pains, I believe?
Yeah, it's called Growing Pains. I was playing someone called Xavier. Xavier is a vegan, spiritual, health freak who is bisexual.
Oh, that's the one I wanted to see.
He's more looking onto the boy side of things. But in the play, you kind of see his journey of how he's like, it's not like he's still lost. He's like a lost, so he can't really define where he's going in life. It's just that he's moved out of London. He's moved to this college. This college is like kind of tainted with his way of thinking.
Yeah,
to make
him
believe that he is this person. But in this play, he meets a girl from back in the day.
Oh,
and
okay.
I think she kind of brings back the old Xavier. It's meant to be his birthday as well. Like, oh. So this is meant to be his birthday party, but it's like the worst birthday party that could ever happen.
Oh. Sounds interesting. I wish I had saw it.
What theatre was you at?
It was at the DIY space in near South Bermondsey.
Okay.
Yeah, shout out to them, man. Trust me.
Yeah.
We'll be back again. Yeah. Trying to work out some dates. So,
how many plays did you do? Just one or
one? It was meant to do 2 days, but we was thinking because it's Mother's Day.
Mm.
I don't think anyone would really come to play on Mother's Day. I mean, I wouldn't want to be doing performance on Mother's Day. I'd rather that be eating that macaroni and cheese, bro.
You haven't been on the show before, Justin.
I haven't been on the show. I'm kind of excited. But at the same time, a bit like,
virgin.
You know.
Virgin to the show.
I am a virgin to the show. Yeah.
About to get bust, man.
I'm trying to be comfortable, you know, before, you know, you guys...
Oh, yeah.
You know, take my cherry away, but...
Usually we do, like... I haven't done this for a while, but I get, like, my co-host to, like, introduce the first segment or every segment and like kind of get them to use like sound effects or
I've heard it. There's a lady that does the
yeah, that's all down to him,
I was hoping to hear her, but you know,
I don't know, my friend Philippe, he gets up on his computer.
Yeah, that's cool. For the record,
that was Queenie, man. That was a cool episode.
Yeah,
but yeah, so
just put it out there, it was Philippe. Yeah.
But yeah, man, like, The first segment is what's happening in the world.
Okay.
So, yeah, however you want to introduce that, man.
What's happening in the world? Current affairs. A man wakes up to intruder performing sex acts on him after breaking into his flat. Dude, should I repeat that? I don't know. I think we need to marinate on that or like really, really sink that in. A man woke up to an intruder performing a sex act on him after. Could you imagine sleeping? You know, you're counting sheep, you know, you're dreaming everything, and the man is just humping your thigh. That's unheard of. You can't write this.
That's what I mean. When I saw it, I was just like, what? What do you mean?
That is crazy.
So, like, my man was sleeping, then the intruder broke in. Like, his intention while he was breaking in was to rob the place, but then he stumbled upon the bedroom and he was like, hold on.
What do we have here?
Forget the goods.
I'm gonna get the goodies. Fucking hell,
that is crazy, man.
But yeah, so the context of it is this picture we see right here. You guys can't see at home, but his name is.
I just want to know is that the picture of
him? He took off him
when he's caught.
I think it is.
And he looks that clean.
Yeah,
the guy must have liked that shit. Because how did he? Look at his face. Look at his face. This guy was. You woke up to this guy grinding on you. He's holding a few. Yeah, a few.
That's crazy.
You know what it is as well.
Like, as I get older, I think you know I've heard it all. You know, but then you stumble onto.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This world is crazy. That's why we have to talk about.
You must be possessed.
I have a question.
The guy that did this.
Yeah.
Did he know the homeowner? Because maybe he's seen him about. He's seen him in the streets, and he's like, he's a good-looking guy. So he's been following him, you know, on his commute to work, commute back home. He's just like, you know what? I'm going to get it in. I'm going to get this in.
You want to make me profile.
I want to know the context and the background. You want to make me profile to help this story formulate.
Look at me more than 4 seconds. I'm out to the screen back out there.
Oh, come in my house. That is mad.
I prefer the fact he didn't know him and it was like
think he didn't know him?
A divine intervention.
I wanna believe that he did know him. That he was just like, you know what? This is a nice guy. Maybe, just maybe I might try it. Maybe if he enjoys it, then maybe he might let me take the stuff in all, you know, good mannerism and you know we won't have to struggle or anything, you know.
What was his excuse? Because I really want to know what his excuse was. No, he's damned if he I have another question
yeah, which is this. What happened after? So
I was reading the context. Let's see.
It says
Jed Riddle, 27, was sentenced to 3 years at Durham Crown Court.
Durham. So I knew that it's not London. I'm saying these guys move up there because none of that stuff happens. It's walking people's house there.
Exactly.
After admitting to sexual assault and trespass with intent. The court heard that the victim went to bed in his home after a long day of drinking.
Oh, okay.
When
I told you there was a background.
What did he say?
He went to sleep.
What's that word?
He was drinking. Listen, he probably had a conversation with him.
You never get that, you know? I don't even get what that response means, man.
He probably had a conversation with him at the pub before the whole thing. please continue. I need to hear
so,
this.
It says,
wow.
The court heard that the victim went to bed in his home after drinking when Riddle entered the flat. Entered his flat. The prosecutor, Robin Turton, said that the victim woke up to the shock of someone performing a sex act on him before chasing him away.
He chased him away?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Did he actually try to take any valuable before he did it?
Chased him away, just said that.
I know how
the story ends. It just says that apparently Riddle, the this Jed guy, he first denied the sexual assault and trespassing with intent to commit a sexual act, but then changed his plea to guilty on both charges. He claimed he claims it must have been a misunderstanding on the victim's part when he woke up.
What the hell? A misunderstanding? How?
Show the meaning, man.
How can there be a misunderstanding? I'm sleeping. You've come into my house. There was a misunderstanding. Sorry. Got that wrong.
No, you're definitely on something. You're definitely on something.
But here's a question. Here's another question. Do these two know each other?
Nah, I don't think they do.
You're on that, innit? You're really on that.
If they know each other, then, you know... Maybe there was a misunderstanding, and he thought that he could come inside the house.
Oh my days! It's the funniest thing I've ever read.
No, nobody seen my perspective.
He claimed it was a misunderstanding on the victim's part when he woke up and drew the wrong conclusion.
See, I get this guy.
Oh.
I mean, I wouldn't do this, but
it was the victim's fault.
Can we look at his face? Can we have a look at his face? He looks misunderstood. He looks a bit confused.
This looks like a dodgy.
That looks like a confused man. He looks confused. He got the wrong, he got the wrong idea.
He's got them dark circles around his eyes.
No, it happens. It happens.
It said that he proper broke in, like he proper.
Oh wow!
Said
really?
That he lifted the door handle. Latch.
His attention.
No, don't worry. I'm just talking. Yeah, I'm just trying to feed the story. I mean, the guys are nutcase.
His intention was to rob the.
But I like to imagine and like to think of the possibilities of where the story can go. What's his name? Jack.
Jed Riddle.
Oh, Jed.
Jed Riddle.
Jed Riddle, that's a nice name.
Riddle had accepted
that make things worse, does it?
Homosexuality at age 20, but that he struggled to understand why he committed these offences. So, I don't know, maybe it was his way of, lashing out or whatever.
That is crazy. Well, I mean, how many years did you get?
You got 3 years.
Can we go? I mean, I don't know much about the court system and everything, but he only got 3 years.
Yeah, so he gets a year and a half, and then he does that.
I'm sorry, but is that not motivating to other people that want to do that? Yeah. If I do it and get caught, only 3 years, I'll be back in the streets.
Hey, man.
Bro, maybe I'll try again, but this time don't get caught.
Yeah, what's the system you're living in, though? Bro?
3 years?
Yeah, man.
Do you guys honestly think that's enough?
It's not enough at all. My man broke into his house. With the intention to rob the place, but then didn't rob the place and assaulted him sexually.
If you did that to me,
and then he told,
I'll be like, what, 3 years? Yeah,
only 3 years.
3 years,
cool.
Yeah.
When you come
I'll look
out,
at him and I'll be like, a year and a half.
Yeah.
Watch when you come out.
Yeah. Have to.
Well, yeah, man.
Talk to him.
So, next thing that's going on in a while.
I don't know what's worse, the situation or the justice behind it.
I know. It's
like that. There was a show I was watching the other day on Netflix. It's called one of our actors actually told me about it. She's not here right now. It's called, is it 7 Seconds? It's
Seven Seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dope.
See, I watched the first episode but fell asleep. But from what I saw, okay, if I'm gonna say this, it's a spoiler for anyone that hasn't watched it. The first episode, I mean, is it really a spoiler? Anyways, I won't say the details, but what I will say is that someone committed a crime,
mm-hmm.
a horrendous crime,
mm-hmm.
and how many years did he get? Well, how many years was he going to get? Did they say something like, was it 5 years for killing someone?
Is it manslaughter or is it a juvenile?
It's manslaughter on the guy that did it.
Because it's kind of different in this man's story. It means you're provoked and pushed in a position where you have no choice but to do it.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not like it's an outright no reason, like.
No, but there wasn't a reason, though. I mean, he did it, was an accident, but either way.
Well, you see in court, yeah? It's not about what's happened, it's about what you can prove. And if they can prove it down, if they can get it to manslaughter, and still prove that to get less than years. That's what they do. The lawyer, like when you're convicted of such a crime, the lawyer's job is basically to get the least amount of years. Because you're gonna get years. There's no way I can get you out unless you've got no case, no ties to it. That's what a defense lawyer does. Just how many years I can give you. Just trying to give you the best situation possible.
That's true.
Unbelievable.
That's why some people even represent guys that did it. They know they did it.
Yeah.
But
they're paying
them a bag of money to tell you that he hasn't done it. And
money,
deep in his heart, he probably knows he did it.
That's why they say money is the root to all evil.
Well, in that country, trust me, you can do a crime, you bought it, you're right. pay your way out of everything.
You've got to ask yourself the question, is it better to live in a lawless country?
Yeah.
Or a country where the justice system kind of fails?
We live in that world, unfortunately, bro, where a man can... I don't want to bring it up because the story's coming later, because I've got it later in my notes.
Okay. But...
yeah, we live in that kind of world, man, where people can get away with murder nowadays, man.
Literally
get away with murder and then like come back and get out of prison and then and then confess.
Mm.
But the confession's in a lost tape. That's when he gets brought up. Did anyone hear about this?
What's this?
The OJ Simpson thing.
Yeah, of course.
Bang, the lost
tape. Oh, what? He confessed to actually doing it?
Bro, yeah. I'll bring up now, because we've gone on to it, but, like, I was going to bring it up later, but fucking...
Do it now.
So, obviously, OJ Simpson, like, Fox, they aired, like, the trailer to his lost tapes that he was... supposedly what happened was it was an interview that was recorded in 2006, which was to promote his hypothetical book, If I Did It.
Okay.
And there's like us. I found the I found the clip from YouTube because I was watching my and he looked. This is the TMZ thing.
The chapter 6 is called The Night in Question. And you write in the book, now picture this and keep in mind that this is purely hypothetical. Yes. Would you tell me what might have happened on the night of June 12th, 1994? And let's just walk through the night.
Well, first of all, this is very difficult for me to do this. It's very difficult for me because it's hypothetical. I know and I accept the fact that people are going to feel whatever way they're going to feel. You know, they're going to... you know, some whatever they want to feel. In the book, the hypothetical is
Charlie.
this guy Charlie shows up, the guy who I had recently become friends with, and I don't know why you had been by Nicole's house, but it told me you wouldn't believe what's going on over there. And I remember thinking, well, whatever's going on over there has got to stop, right? So we kind of hooked up together, and you know, I'm kind of broad stroking this. We go over, get in the Bronco and go over it.
Let's just go back and do the details. Where did you park?
See the detail.
You parked
in the hypothetical in the alley.
You park in the alley.
Because he's talking about his hypothetical book, If I Did It.
You put on a wool cap and gloves.
He's just.
In the hypothetical, I put on a cap and gloves.
Right. And. You reached under the seat for
a knife. I always kept a knife in the car for the crazies and stuff, because you can't travel with a gun. And I remember Charlie saying, you ain't bringing that. And I didn't, right? But I believe he took it.
Charlie took the knife?
Yeah. In the book.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the back gate, you go through the back gate.
Yes.
And it was open or broken or?
I don't recall.
Okay.
I go to the front and I'm looking to see what's going on. And I can see that it appears like Nicole had candles up all the time. She really did to keep her overhead down, I think. And music was on. And while I was there, a guy shows up.
You know, so Ron Goldman comes in the back gate.
Yeah. A guy that I really didn't recognize. I may have seen him around, but I really didn't recognize him to be anyone. And in the mood I was in, I started having words with him.
He says to you, I just came by to return a pair of glasses. Judy left them at the restaurant.
Yeah, words to that effect, yes.
And
he was I don't know if I believe it or didn't believe it. It was pretty much immaterial because, you know, I was more concerned about everything that was going on, you know, and was fed up with it, I guess. And
you get into a fight. Nicole comes out.
A verbal fight. Got a little loud, and by that time, Nicole had come out. And we started having words about who is this guy, why is he here, what's going on.
And she says, this is my house, get the F out of here.
Yes, and which I didn't like because, once again, this is the same person. And if you read the book, you'll see some things that happened in the 2 weeks leading up to this that were very, very irritating, you know. And I think Charlie had followed this guy in, wanted to make sure it was no problem, and he brought the knife. As things got heated, I just remember Nicole fell and hurt herself. And this guy kind of got into a karate thing. And I said, well, you think you can kick my ass? And I remember I grabbed the knife. I do remember that portion, taking the knife from Charlie. And to be honest, after that, I don't remember. Except I'm standing there, and there's all kind of stuff around. And
what kind of stuff?
Blood and stuff around. You know, I hate to say this, but this is not I'm sorry. I know we got to back up again.
Right. That's okay. I'm going to back up.
This is hard.
Yeah. I know. I'm going to back up to
try to make people think that I'm a
You wrote in the book, I had never seen so much blood in my life.
He wrote it from a first person account.
Covered.
This is a bit silly, isn't it, though, really?
Can you describe it?
It's hard for me to describe it, I'm telling you. I don't think any two people could be murdered the way they were without everybody being covered in blood. And of course, I think we've all seen the grisly pictures after. So, yeah, I think everything was covered, would have been covered in blood.
And what goes through your mind at a time like that?
I don't know. It's like, what happened?
You write about removing a glove before taking the knife from Charlie.
You know, I had no conscious memory of doing that, but obviously I must have because they found the glove there.
And blacking out. Have you ever blacked out before?
Not to my knowledge.
No.
No, of course. Of course, if something like this would take place in anybody's life, if it were to happen, I would imagine it's something that you would probably automatically have trouble wrapping your mind around.
Digging a grave, man.
It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, I was... Okay. Can't pause it. But carry on. So yeah, that was
that's crazy.
A confession.
Just dug yourself a grave, as far as I'm concerned.
That sounds.
What's the purpose of, you know what? I don't want to entertain the subject, but it's like this is a book.
Yeah, he wrote a book
called
If I Did It.
If I Did It.
And he wrote it from a first person account.
And he's doing an interview. Talking about, I don't remember. Like, he's trying to remember what he wrote in the book.
Yeah,
but it's like you're remembering what actually happened.
Yeah.
It's a bit silly.
This is what happened.
It's a bit silly.
And then he went to that picture of all the blood on the floor.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And then he said, oh, you need to do it. There's blood everywhere.
He's not very smart, is he?
So
he shouldn't have even done the interview. Yeah. At least just not do the interview.
But he was doing it to promote his book.
And he shouldn't do that.
But then obviously when Fox recorded it, they obviously looked back at the footage, they were like, nah, we might as well lose this.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. Oh dear,
Jay. Yeah, so obviously he was not found guilty for the double homicide in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
But he was then arrested for going in and stealing his own memorabilia or something and put in prison for that.
So they got him back in.
Yeah, they got him for something.
Oh dear.
So obviously this was a clip from Fox.
Mm.
Which they recorded in 2006 interview.
Yeah.
Which will be a 2-hour special, which they're going to put on Fox.
Yeah.
And the interview was obviously done to report his book, promote his book, If I Did It. Both the interview and the book was pulled at the same time because of public outrage.
There's so much for promotion, isn't it?
But the book was eventually published after a court awarded the rights to the victim Ron Goldsman.
I'm doing a book like that. It's like teasing. It's like you're pissing on someone, but you're calling it rain. Do you know what I mean? It's like you're just
like
pouring salt on the wounds, man.
The title of the book that they released is If I Did It, Confessions of a Killer with the if disguised in the design. So obviously it looks like but the Ron Goldman family, they protested to it being released. But all it is, to me, is kind of proof that in the world that we live in, a black man, can get off for killing two white people.
Oh, but wait, hold on. Let's go back with that. I'm not black, I'm OJ.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
He's himself, isn't
he? Okay.
Yeah.
So,
that's right.
I mean, OJ can do that.
But I say black man because to the everyday other person looking at him, he is a black man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
Not in America.
Well.
Yeah, see, this is a thing.
Not in America, but whether they want to acknowledge him or not, he is a black man.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And is that Corey's like, yeah,
but
that's one for
but
the
he's
team.
A, he's a, he's
no,
a,
I'm not
he's
saying
a,
it's
he's
one.
A special black man.
He is very special. He was about to buy NBC at the time. But when he was getting convicted, so he would have been a very powerful man if he didn't go and steal his own memorabilia.
I mean, I as you said that, it made me think about the Cosby issue. But we won't get into that. I think we're gonna leave that for
everything's
for
coming
another
out.
Day.
Look,
did he get off?
What?
Cosby's thing's a bit complicated.
There's too many accounts in it.
Too many accounts, too many things.
Yeah.
Cosby's done, it's a bit questionable.
So,
I'm never like Cosby anyway.
The next story I was going to bring up was about Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, man.
He passed away this week.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, man.
I was walking by the station and I saw the paper and I was like, oh my days.
Yeah,
like,
man. I know. I think, what was it, yesterday or...
Yeah, it was yesterday.
It's
crazy.
My nan made sure I knew about that guy.
Trust me. But what I wanted to bring up was there was an article that I read about Stephen Hawking. He left us with this chilling thing about Donald Trump.
Oh, did he leave us?
And climbing. He said, basically, it says that before Donald Trump became president, he was talking about Donald Trump and he said that he was a demigod.
A demigod.
What is that? What that says?
Let me see. That's I don't know what the hell that says. Not demigod, though.
Let me see that. Demigod or what?
I don't know how to pronounce that.
D-E-M-A-G-O-D.
What?
It's probably it, someone listening. I know what it says.
This dyslexia.
Where are you, bro? Where are you at? Where are
oh,
you
sorry.
At?
It's right there. That word.
A demagogue.
Yeah. I think it means something.
What does it mean?
Evil, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
The lowest common denominator.
So I'm going to ask. I mean...
It's the lowest common denominator. That's what it is.
Oh, okay. Wow.
He's the lowest of the lowest.
So... That's what Stephen Hawking thought about Donald Trump.
Oh well, he's not far off. I'll give it to him.
And he was saying that do you know how the president he withdrew from the Paris Climate Accords last June, saying it was detrimental to American workforces for the Paris climate stuff. What's going on?
Okay. I've been living under a rock of recently. I need to ask, how did Stephen Hawking die?
I think.
Is it just due to his
natural
causes? Because I know they said this man should have died a long time ago.
Yeah, he's 75.
And
died.
You know he's
still young.
He's done. You know, I think he's done well. You know, considering, you know, the odds that were against him. I've seen. You know, the film,
definitely.
And, you know, yeah.
Definitely.
But yeah, rest in peace to Stephen Hawking.
So he said that climate change is one of the greatest dangers we face. Yes. And it's one that we can prevent if we act now. Mm. By denying the evidence for climate change and pulling out of Paris Climate Agreement, Donald Trump will cause avoidable environmental damage to a beautiful planet, endangering the natural world for us and our children.
Hmm. Well, what, you know what I need to ask? What causes, I know there's so many things that causes.
There was a Paris Climate Agreement. I need to read up on what the Paris Climate Agreement is. But Donald Trump pulled out of it. Donald Trump pulled out, pulled America out of it.
Of course he did.
So by him pulling out America out of it, it's going to cause a backward spiral on the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And I mean, how long do we have Trump in office for?
4 years?
Probably eight, yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Probably eight?
Yeah, it's 4 years, then they have another election. And then
how long was Barack in office?
Eight. Yeah, he did the best he could do.
He did the best he could do.
There was too much noise going on.
I bet we're all missing Barack Obama now. But what causes climate change? I know there's so many factors, but...
Petrol.
Yeah.
Pollution. It's just pollution, isn't it? Yeah. So obviously, if he's pulled out of it, he's going to make America into a more polluted country.
Yeah.
Which is obviously going to destroy the ozone there. Which is obviously going to affect people in the next years to come. So, single-handedly destroying the world.
On Stephen Hawking's 75th birthday, he said that we are close to the tipping point where global warming becomes irresistible. Trump's action could push the Earth over the brink to become like Venus with the temperature of 250 degrees Celsius and raining sulfuric acid.
Oh, wow.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, man, but I won't be alive for that.
But your kids will, and your grandkids will.
Shit, man.
All because of climate change, huh?
Yeah, it's fucking my energy up.
So, the next story, spiraling on from climate change, is have you guys heard that the beast from the east is back?
Who's that?
You know, the snow and the ice. This weekend, it's coming back, guys.
Oh, you're lying.
I'm not lying. I wish I was lying. But the Met Office have forecasted the return from the Beast from the East, and this time it's going to get worse.
Yeah, but wait, hold on. It's not even that cold right now.
Bro, I know that, but apparently it's coming.
Today's what? Today's Thursday.
Today's Thursday.
I don't think it's coming.
It's now Friday, but...
I don't think it's coming. It's not cold.
Nah.
It's got to be cold for it to snow.
The Met Office have forecasted 10 days of snow ice.
Look, bruv,
look at the pictures. This is why I had to take the picture screenshots. Look, so on Friday, it's not going to touch London, you see. Okay. You know, it's all up on this side. Then Saturday hits, and then it's going to be hitting all over London. And then Sunday hits, and it's smacking up the whole of this side of the...
I don't believe that until I see it.
Metro, I don't trust them. That's budget news,
it's
bro.
Not the Metro, it's the Met. It's the Met Office have forecasted this. This is an official
okay,
forecast.
Okay, let me ask a question right now.
Look
this,
it up if
this
you don't
believe.
This
picture here, Friday the 16th.
Yeah.
Is there a designated time on there?
You would have to look in deeper for the times.
I just don't think it's cold right now. I mean, I know it's not in London, yes, and it's in...
They said it's going to grow over the weekend. It's going to get colder. Well,
you know what? My answer to that, I really hope it doesn't.
It's snow showers on Saturday.
Told you.
1 degree.
Told you.
When's that?
But then Sunday, it's meant to get worse.
And then progressively, from the
14th to the 24th, that's what they're predicting.
It's rain and snow. And then it's Monday is fine. Monday is sunny. Tuesday is calm.
We were just getting good.
Maybe it's just the
warmed up and everything.
No, do you know what? It's just Saturday, really. Saturday ain't going to be much, but Sunday's going to be fine. It's just basically Saturday.
Hey, man, maybe they're just trying to scare us, but...
Yeah, man, they always get...
They're saying Sunday is coming back.
Was supposed to snow, was it last Tuesday? And I was like...
Yeah, they said that.
No, that did not happen, man, at all.
But supposedly it'd be coming back, guys.
You know how rich weather is, man. You can't even predict it anyway.
You can't, but...
Bobby, say that now, and it's going to be 24 degrees on Saturday.
I thought it was warming up.
Yeah, so did I. It's been alright.
Yeah, man. Like, only other piece of information I have before we can start talking about Marcel's paradise...
Yep.
Is I saw this interesting thing on Instagram. It was about Spotify. They're doing like audio ads.
Okay.
So like now they've done some research and they found that audio adverts they reach more people.
Yeah.
And they trialed it in America and now they're branching out to UK and Canada. So anyone in the UK can go to the Spotify ad studio. And then they can just literally go on there, apply for, like, from the video I watched on YouTube, it says you can write a script with and give them and choose a song and they'll, like, produce it for you with their voiceover guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you can choose, like, what target audiences you want.
And anyone can do that?
Anyone can do it.
That's pretty dope.
So you can drop any adverts. And obviously, I assume there's a price. And
when does that come through?
It's now. It's working now.
Oh.
I saw it on Instagram yesterday or today. Mm. But if you can, instead of having like, or like you could, someone could just be listening to Spotify if they don't have premium.
Yeah.
And they could just hear your advert just play at the end of the song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool.
So it's like, I thought
anything to, you know, to bring in more ads.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's alright still.
Do you remember back in the day in the cinemas when you'd watch a movie, you'd watch the trailers, and then you'd actually just watch your movie? There'd be no ads. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are
the good days.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all up for ads, don't get me wrong. But yeah. I mean, you know.
20 minutes long, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just show me the thing on you got.
Sometimes these adverts, yeah, the ones on TV anyway, like what are they about? Like,
it's true.
How are they related to what you're selling?
Have you seen the new London advert with Skepta?
That one, Nike.
Yeah, that's
a cool one.
That's a really, really good one. That really represents us quite well.
Yeah, that was cool still.
Yeah.
That was cool still.
London,
have you seen Dave's Hangman video?
I don't think. I might have. I don't know.
You seen it? Oh, my mate directed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it... Okay. Well,
I went to his gallery. He done a G-Shock.
Mm.
He had a G-Shock expedition where he showed off all his photos that he's been doing for various artists. And he went on tour with...
That's pretty cool.
...tons of artists. And he's always at festivals taking pictures and doing videos. Yeah, man.
It's cool. That's cool. That's all right. That's not bad. It's not bad at all.
Mm.
I think I can find the pictures on Instagram.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to figure out if I've seen it or not. Marcy's Lyon.
G-Shirt. Not that one. I don't know where the G-Shirt pictures are. He had like a... But it was this one, like...
Okay.
That was the event.
Hmm.
Mm.
Well done to him. In London. Well done to him. Yeah, 100%.
100.
He's been doing work since like since uni. Like I've known him since uni. And the funniest thing about it is right.
Mm.
At uni, everyone used to say that me and him looked alike.
Oh really? Do you guys actually look alike?
I don't know. I don't see it. Other people seem to see it.
Mm.
It was to the point where like I used to be like.
Did you guys talk the same?
No, like, we don't sound the same. Like, he's African, I'm Jamaican.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, and he was like, oh, you want to find a picture of him? There's very rare picture. You get a picture of Janique. No face, no case on it.
You're double,
you don't get to see his face. He takes those strategic pictures. I think this is New Year's Eve. Yeah. It was New Year's Eve, but he always hides his face. It's very rare you can see his face. It's blurry, though, isn't it? It's a smash up. You never see his face in pictures.
I know it's blurry, but I can see what you may mean.
Mm.
I don't know, man. They say he looks like me.
Interesting.
But, like, the funniest thing about it is he actually has a twin brother.
It's even more strange.
That's what all his friends said. So, like, obviously, I turned up at the event and I was like, I knew he had a twin brother. So I was like, I need to meet his twin brother. I need to tell him what happened at uni. I was like, bro, like...
What would happen if you found out that you had a twin brother who was never found? And then you find out, dude, man, I'm just talking shit. But yeah, you get what I'm getting.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but it's crazy, man. I used to be chilling at home in halls, and I used to get a message like, oh, I just saw you in the library, Corey. I was like, in the library?
I'm on the toilet, man.
I'm at home. He was like, oh, I thought I saw you. Like, it happened all the time. People would see me in place. Oh, I thought you were out that night. All the time.
That was not me.
Not me. Like, I had K-Rose in uni, and he had short hair.
It's funny you say that, because I have a friend of mine. His name is... I have a friend of mine. I'm not going to say his name, but he actually has a twin brother. So I remember one time we were out. I think we were in... where was it? I think we were in, like, Barnet. I don't know. We were somewhere. Yeah. And then we're walking out this place, and one of the guys stops us. He's like, yo, man, how's it going? How's it going, Ben? He's like, yeah, it's good, man. And they're talking for, like, about 5 minutes. But then after we walk out, and I'm looking at my boy, and I'm like, yo, you don't know who that guy is, do you? He's like, nah, it's probably because my brother, happens all the time. But I'm like, so wait, you didn't bother at any point to stop that conversation and be like, it's who you're thinking of, it's not me. You're probably talking to, it happens all the time, I can't be bothered, so I just go along with it sometimes.
What do you mean it happens all the time?
So you like to pretend to be your...
That might get you in some shit.
Either get him in some shit or get him in places.
Yeah, true. The beauty of having a twin, huh?
Yeah,
I prefer to get me in some shit.
But yeah.
But what else is there? That's it, really, for the news. So we can talk about Marcel's Paradise. I have some questions for you, Justin.
Yes.
Where did idea of Justin, you know, Marcel's Paradise come from? Like, where were you, like, when you were...
Yeah.
Like,
that's a very, very good question.
Like, when you came up with the idea.
When did
like,
it hit you that?
Like, yeah.
I'm going to make this film.
Yeah, like, that's the question.
What year?
Yeah, you know.
Okay, so this is a bit of a story.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time, I wanted to do a short film called Line. And it was based on my boy, like a childhood friend. And it was basically like, it's about his life.
Oh, yeah.
And, he's a bit of a shut collar. But, he's a drug dealer. Anyways, but yeah, he does this full time. And, I remember there was times when I would just be chilling and, you know, he'd take me to the cafe. Because he had a lot of money and he'd just spoil me. And it's like, I wanted to make something about that. So I was in the progress of making that, but then things happened and it never got to see the light of day. So after that, because I'd gotten so far, I was like, man, I want to write a film that actually has actors in it, like dependable actors as well. So I was sitting at home in my room and I was like, how can I put together something that I can do without getting permits, that I can shoot in my area, and how can I make it quite relatable to my life? So I was sitting down. I mean, I could have written anything, but the truth is, I wanted to write something that kind of, because I didn't know if this was going to go through. That's just the truth. I didn't know this short film was even going to go to where it is right now, to the point that, you know, we have a screening of it and I've sent it to film festivals and it's gone so far. I didn't even know we would be able to, like, even get the first shot done, the first scene done. When we did the first scene on the 14th of February, that was unbelievable to me. Just even getting the actors...
2017. I remember it was Valentine's Day. You remember that?
I remember it was Valentine's Day. I'm sitting there, I was on the train, I was thinking to myself, am I really finishing work?
Yeah.
to go and work again on Valentine's Day.
So like, listen, just even having you guys come round to my house as the whole cast just to read the script was amazing.
Oh, that was awesome, man.
So what I'm saying is, all of that happened, but all of that was hard to fathom. So I wanted to, so from the get-go for me writing the script, it's been one of those journeys where I've just had to imagine if I could.
Yeah.
If I could be this person, what type of person would I be? If I could be in a film, or if I could be in a situation with amongst friends, how would I like to be represented? So I came from the angle of, okay, if I could play a character in a film,
mm-hmm.
I'd want to be portrayed in a way where I'm needed, where I'm like the guy, I'm like the man. You know what I mean? No, seriously, you asked me.
No, yeah, that's true.
And that's what I wanted. And I was like, if I could do it, that's how I think I'd be so cool doing it. And then after a film that kind of struck me that kind of relates to that is Carlito's Way.
Yeah.
You know, played by Al Pacino.
Al Pacino, yeah.
And I was like, okay, yeah, this is cool. Like, this is one of my favorite films. Let me write a script to that. Let me steal some ideas from that. So then after, there's another film of mine that I like. It's called Crash.
Yeah.
What I like about Crash is how all the characters in the film kind of come together, and they all kind of meet at some point.
The story is kind of
during
like,
the film. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Fragmented.
Literally, that was it. That's how the story came out. And then after I wrote it in a way where I could shoot it guerrilla style and not really depend on, you know, on anything or anyone.
Before you continue with that, guerrilla style.
I'll hit you with that.
Nah.
Do you want to know what that means?
Yes, please.
Yeah. A lot of people get it, a lot of people don't. I actually stole that little phrase from Kanye West.
Okay.
When I think he got punked and they were trying to steal his tape or whatever.
Yeah.
And after with Kanye, he likes to go out there, get it done, boom. He doesn't even care about getting a permit.
Mm.
So that's that whole I think it's known as the whole film society thing. It's like shooting a guerrilla style, which is like getting to an area, shooting it straight, not getting any like permits, not getting any permission. Dante knows all about that. And literally not giving a fuck and just, you know, getting it done, you know? Yeah. That's guerrilla style.
Okay. I'll tell you now, one time we had to do a scene, it was there until like 1 o'clock, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And all the scenes we had to do, yeah, it was a scene where I had to like, yo, like, you fucking bitch, like to someone,
Give me your fucking phone, hurry up!
I had to rob someone, like, give me your fucking phone. So I'm all in like
stupid.
I'm in menace to society, man, mode. thinking I'm locked up, like ready to go.
Yeah.
And then as I'm about to do it, some guy's like, "Oi, mate, you're messing up, man. You're waking up my kids." But in my head, I'm thinking to myself, like, "You're still waking him up." Just let me do my thing and go. So we thought, "Oh, we're gonna leave." And then as we get ready to leave, Justin was like, "Listen, yeah, you're gonna say it one more time. It's gotta be perfect. It's gotta be gold. We're gonna do this now. Yeah, let's go. Come, let's go." So I've gone now, and it's like I'm walking to do it now, yeah. And Justin's just looking at, if we get this right. But I got it right. It was clear cut and precise. Right.
Yeah,
clear cut and precise. But when I finished, I bopped off. That guy opened the window again. Like, he was ready to do it again, bro.
Yeah. So that's a clear example of guerrilla style. But yeah, so that's how I got the inspiration. I hope I answered the question. That's how.
Hey man, yeah.
I got the inspiration to.
I'm more cleared up on what guerrilla style means.
You're also cleared up on how the film, how the origins.
I like the way how you wrote like the characters, as in like you said like when you first brought us down with the script, you said you wrote it in a sense like you were thinking about what we would say,
because
you wrote it like as if you wrote each part for us.
Mm.
So like, even when reading the lines, I was like reading it back, I was like, shit, I would say something like this.
Yeah. That's what's amazing.
So it was cool. I enjoyed that.
That's what's amazing about writing a script, when you have great chemistry with everyone in the actually playing the script.
Mm.
I know all of you guys. I was in your class.
Yeah.
I have close friends. So I've heard you guys speak like on a daily basis. I've seen you guys do work. So I don't know if everyone can do this, but I can do it. Which is like I can listen to someone and then kind of like, you know, not memorize, but kind of familiarize myself with, okay, I think he would say it like this. I think he would say it like this. So it made it that much more easier to write the script one. And I think when you hear, you know, the lines,
yeah,
it sounds genuine. It don't sound exactly fake, you know what I mean?
That's what I mean. That's what I loved about it.
Yeah, so that was it. I think you got a lot of praise for that.
Oh.
With, I'm pretty sure, was it Fatima? Fatima was saying something about, of how it was casted and how your lines, when the way you used to say your lines, how it sounded genuinely, like, you know, with the tone and with the texture.
Yeah, man, everything, like, it was 100% bang on. I was blown away. I was like, yeah, man.
Yeah, and there's more.
I wanted a show reel. You need to write my show reel scenes.
Yeah, man. But yeah, I read the script and I was like, yeah, man, this is
the one.
And you wanted to play that kind of character?
Yeah, because I'm always jealous, yeah. I always play this boy next door guy. Mm. Like, another boy next door.
I never had that good, for
the
you,
good
man.
Guy.
No.
Like, I just wanna.
I don't see that.
I just wanna go nuts for once.
I just wanna go nuts for once.
Yeah, I just wanna go nuts for once. I get this, Nick Bottom, Harry, this guy. Oh, joy.
So I told you.
He's like, just like, I got something. Because remember, the film before,
you
wanted me to come in the film before just for a little small scene.
Yeah, you were asking me about it.
And it didn't work, so we signed for this one. So you came through with this one, yeah? I thought, this is it. So it is. And just the funniest thing, yeah? Now, I've kind of like, obviously, I've, like, how can I explain it? Like, the way how I kind of went mad in the scene, yeah?
Yeah.
For me, I'm not saying anyone else, you might have a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
You might have a difference of opinion. Mm. You have a different opinion. But I think the level of conviction, I think, is quite as clear
as Killmonger. Hard.
As what?
As Killmonger. I kind of saw it in the same sense where I had the love for you because you was an older guy.
Yeah.
But the love turned to hate.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because I don't really want to say too much, but I get what you mean. When I was sitting there watching the film, I was just thinking to myself, I hope when people watch my shit.
Yeah.
Don't think this shit was made after that. Because I'd be like,
that is crazy. Listen. I hope the cast of Marcel's Paradise is listening to that because that is crazy.
I'm thinking about it now.
I didn't think.
I saw your face. That's why I had to hit you with the
syllables. When you said that, I was like, all right, Corey is a bad guy, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when you broke that down.
Because that's what you do. Like, you.
Without saying too much.
How's it go? Like, there's a development of your character to which you reach a point and then you break. And
the funny thing is, let me add to that.
Yeah.
We see the breaking point because it's like you're trying to not break, but then you break.
Yeah.
And then it gets too much and it's like,
that's it.
That's a very good point.
That's a very, very good metaphor analogy.
I'm going to think about that again.
I've sat that for like for weeks. I've had this in my head. I thought, am I being too much? Am I being too bossy? Am I...
You know what's funny? If you said that to me through a voice note or through WhatsApp,
I would have been like, he's getting a bit high.
But the way that you've broken it down to, I'm like, wow. It's true.
That's down to your writing, though. That's literally down to your writing, though.
This was... Yeah, but what you're talking about is something unintentional, you know? I didn't plan to do that. But it's funny, though.
No, but I fit, like... For example, do you know, like, the year before Life of Pets came out, me, you, and... what's his name? Paul. Had the idea for a cartoon cat story that a cat talks... And you know he goes out into the world and he's talking to his friends about animals.
He was at Paul's house, yeah?
Yeah.
And like, there's this cat walking in it, yeah? And Paul was like, yeah, the cat's deaf. And was, all right, cool. But when we had food, like, the cat will come and you'll call it and it will come to you.
No, but it would be delayed. Like, you'll call the name and it would just be like... and then like
it'll that. It's like, you know when kids, you know you call them a kid, hi, and like they're like watching their favorite TV show. They can hear you, they're just choosing not to kind of hear you. So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what's the cat's name? And the cat just had some like unorthodox name, like Jerry, Harry, something happy. Like, I'm thinking to myself, nah, man, his name's probably.
And the thing is, it wasn't just any old cat, yeah. Not only was it deaf, it was also albino.
Okay.
It's just pure white. And the thing is, like, it would go out, it would just come back with scratches on it, but like blood and stuff like that. But like, you're thinking, how did he hear that he was being attacked? But it was not like, it was like defensive runes, and then he had like he was in scraps, but he was fighting, and then he would come back like nothing. You'd call it. That's delayed responses.
So we just thought that a TV show where the cat's name's like Vincent, but really his name's Theo.
Okay.
Like, so every time when she's calling that like, Clarence, he's like, my name's fucking Theo. He goes out, meet the other cats, terrorizing the ends. Like, but in here he's like a groomed.
Tailored
cat.
Okay.
And he
goes back.
Obeying, always in the
kitty there. And then he goes out, checks the homie, and he's just like, oh, you still get that place? Yeah, they still think I'm deaf.
And then Seeker Life for Pets came out. And then pissed, bro.
Exactly.
I looked at it, I was thinking to myself, I was with my daughter in the cinema, looking at it.
I was like, This looks for something I said like 2 years ago. I'm thinking, So wait, and then what happened was Kevin Hart. I thought, that's it. My that's it.
I can't even make that. Like, that's copyright laws now.
Nah, shit. We can make that. Don't worry.
Nah, they're gonna take that copyright.
Nah, I don't know what to make of. I guess it's true what they're saying. Like, if you don't follow up on the great idea, somebody else will.
But it also means at the same time, if you had that great idea to have that moment in a film, and someone else such a big film like Black Panther has that moment in a film, it means that you're on the same kind of wavelength, so you're heading in the right direction. That's the way I look at it.
That's beautiful. I like that.
If you want to know what we're talking about, March 30th,
Marcel's
Paradise.
It's going to be special.
What was your favourite scene?
My favourite scene?
Yeah.
Okay, one scene came to my head straight away, but I don't know if it's because we've been talking about it.
Yeah.
So let me just think.
For me, yeah, it's a scene that... it's a scene that got deleted.
Oh!
I heard about that scene. Remember the one they had the
first...
The
fight scene.
Unique
timing of how... Listen, that shit would have had everyone like...
You can blame Junior for that.
What happened in it wasn't supposed to happen. Moved, like the knife hitting against the railing.
Yeah.
Like the way everything got choreographed, like my coughing of getting winded, it was perfect, bro.
I don't know, I didn't lose the footage. Junior did.
But all in all, after that, my favourite scene. I can't even say my favourite scene, but I'll say, I won't be biased to myself, I'll say one that I really liked that had nothing to do with me in it was yours, Corey.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yours when he's like, trying to explain to you, like, you know, the angle goes from like, it goes into his face.
Which one? Because me and him got two scenes.
Yeah, no, it's when you first meet him and he's trying to do his idea walking down the street. I like the way the camera just goes from a normal point of view straight to Marcel's point of view. And it's like, you're coming at him with some crazy idea. Coming at him, it's just mad. I thought the visuals for that was definitely dope. I think
it depends, like, when you say my favourite scene, are you talking like watching it, or are you talking about in terms of working on it? Because I know this sounds complicated. I guess
working, both.
Both?
Yeah.
Okay. In terms of the one that I just like watching and the one that I enjoy, I think it's going to be... It's a tie between two.
Okay.
Tie between... Dante and MD.
I think that's my favorite scene.
That's the first thing that came to mind.
I don't know, I'm being biased on myself. Or the scene where right at the end, Colin comes out. I like what you did there. Yeah, that's it was a tie between that one and that one.
I forgot about that scene still. Colin comes that scene out. Is joke, yeah. bro. You look cool, the headbutt.
It was so perfect. Like,
I just sneaked up for 2 minutes. Like, went into a sneak for 2 minutes.
One scene I really did like.
It was like a sneak.
You know the teaser. With Dante and Dominic.
Yeah, I like that.
My favorite scene, the one that I enjoyed working on, and it's the truth, is the one between me and Ben. I think it's because we had so much to play with on that scene. When I say me and Ben scene, I'm talking about just the conversation.
Yeah.
I think that's
that was a strong scene.
Yeah.
That scene was definitely strong.
One scene that I do like, looking at as well, is the one between me and Cora as well.
Cora.
that's why I call him, ladies and gentlemen.
He calls him Cora. I don't know why.
That's that scene as well. The one where you're talking to him, you're like, you got something for me, and I'm not really too interested.
Oh, you mean yeah. So hard.
There's so many scenes. There's a few scenes. I don't even think you answered it.
Jump, man. Fucking jump.
There's so many scenes, bro. Yeah. You know what? I think my thing is just this, man. I just hope people enjoy it as much as I had fun making it, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Because talking about it with you guys now, it's just like, damn, this was...
It was a great project, man. I don't think... Like, even though there was some times where, like, there was, like, that was, when we had to redo me and Dante's scene, and me and Dante just, like, we got pissed off at each other.
When he fell on the floor, I was like, what? Yeah, many, many, many good scenes, but I really enjoyed it. I know we're not done yet.
Yeah, I hope so.
I know we're not done yet.
Oh, yeah, there might be room for another.
There might be, there could be, who knows?
Part two.
Whose paradise is it? Collins.
I think this is more of a franchise, really.
What are they called? What's it called? The seven of them, or eight of them, or nine of them? Fast and Furious. That's what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, could be.
Or I don't. I'm gonna have to wait until we're off mic to say what I want to say.
Okay, fair enough. So many things I want to say.
You were saying something before, and that would be dope. Like.
Okay.
I think you may not remember, but it was in this moment in time and space. We said it when we were before, way back.
You know. I can only go as after.
It was just before the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, even I wasn't here before then.
Dante arrived early.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Of course, man.
From all that we've been through, what did you guys take? What's the one special thing that you guys took away from our project? Well, that's a good question. If I'm getting a bit. Why are you thinking about it? I'm gonna have an aura.
That's a damn good question. What did I take away from the project experience? I took away from the fact that it was, although you are, I'm gonna say like amateur, like because you're not professional doing it all the time. It was very professionally put together. Although there were moments where it felt like it was more idea than process of what was going on. We got to finish and we got to figuring out where we needed to go in the end. it was more like, it felt like a learning process for both you as a first-time director and also as taking on the whole thing of cast, your cast and directing your cast. And although that we're your cast, at the same time, we're your friends.
Mm.
So it's kind of like you had the whole business friends relationship down, like where there was times where it was just, okay, cool, we're chilling.
Yeah,
then
yeah,
when it got down to business, we were working and then we finished at crazy times in the morning, but it was all for the project that we believed in. And 100% from the moment I read that script, I was like, yes, this is what I want to be in.
Ooh.
I believed in that script. I believed in the character. I love the character that he wrote for me and every other character in the script. So that's what I took away from it. When and it happened like twice in that year, I found two scripts and two projects that I worked on that I really, really believed in them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's very rare. I don't know. I haven't been doing this long. I'm getting scripts from people, but it's like you get a script and you just read it and you're just like, I can imagine this actually being made. Actually being physical, like it being a thing, and other people watching it and maybe seeing what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And it was not, it's not even just like, it was more like, you're a very good writer.
Thank you.
It was very well, cleverly written, certain lines and certain things that you're saying to maybe lead people's thoughts certain ways. So yeah, it was a great experience, like to work with a very talented guy who's 100% I'm sure we will be working together 100 times more in this job, in this business that we're all striving to be in.
No doubt.
But yeah, you're destined for great things, bro. That was, it was absolutely amazing. I hope like everyone at home that sees this like loves it as much as it was for us being involved in it. Like I could speak forever, but like if you got
well, it sounds really lovely.
Sorry, you're welcome.
Sorry, you were around with a question.
Sorry,
I just lost in what you said. Sorry,
sorry.
It was
No, what was the question? It was
I mean, if you could take away something from the project that was really special to you, I mean, what was it?
Kind of like values that I've set for myself as an actor, like I do it anyway.
Yeah.
So it's always being flexible. In your work ethic, you gotta make sure you're flexible. You gotta make sure you're on point with your cues. You gotta make sure that you're alright. You gotta make sure everyone's alright.
Yeah,
that's what some actors don't do. And things that I did on Master of Paradise, I did in another film, but obviously you'll hear about that later. Hopefully when it comes closer to the time, I'll speak about it. But through that, I've got more work. It's just more or less about your personality off the camera. Because I can give everything on the camera. I've got no doubt in that. But your relationship, what you have off the camera, you've got to keep that as important, because you never know where your next job is going to come from. You never know where your next recommendation is going to come from. My director for the other projects came to my play, and he pulled me aside. He's like, bro, it's one thing doing film, but to do film and to do theatre at the height and to still have the personality, you're doing the right thing. Just keep your head down, doing the right thing. And I'd never got that relationship if I never went on set with you lot to know that, all right, cool. Because I went from doing that, if I never did that, those late nights with you, how would I have survived on Canary Wharf Bridge in the winter time, shooting at 1:45 a.m. for a night scene? But I would have been wrecking my head. I would have been like, I'm doing this, going home, mate. You get me? So, it's kind of like just your work ethic.
Yeah.
It's kind of more or less what I kind of learned. All the whole things about the script and that, when I believed it, that's it. It's more about the personality with people. And knowing myself, I've worked with, like, I've done a scene with Corey, I've done a scene with you, I've done a scene with Dominic, I've done a scene with, like, MD.
Yeah.
And I think one thing I actually learned, yeah, take nothing away from guys, like, but working with women is so easy, bruv.
It's so easy.
They're just already there. Like it's just you've been going not like she was giving me all of this tension. I'm thinking to myself, right, this is easier than most fight scenes that I do, buddy. These are the most fight scenes. So I kind of like learned that aspect. I thought, well, because I remember one time in drama school, one of our head teachers, we all know him, he spoke about how emotional connected women can get.
Yeah.
And how easy they can work because they're already embedded and already emotionally connected. And I never really got that until I'd done the scene with MD.
Yeah.
It's tough as nails, man.
It's true. I know what you mean. It's tough
as nails.
I know what you mean.
No, it's tough. When you see that, when you see what happened in the scene, you're thinking this girl is tough as nails, bro. Don't look it, but she's tough as nails. Yeah, 100%. But yeah, that's what I kind of learned more about that.
And also, like, because it was like my first screen anything that I was working on properly, other than that flipping African film for Passport's Sake did.
That's archived in there now.
Apparently, it's meant to be coming out 2018. I don't know, bro. But anyway, other than that,
that's the same for me, guys.
never going in that business again.
Bro, can you imagine? I auditioned, I got a featured character in the in the film, They changed the call time, I knew the call time, it was meant to be like, I was away the day before, but I knew I could make it to the call time in time, It was meant to be like something like 2 o'clock or something. Supposedly, they changed the call time, but they didn't call me. They sent the message in the WhatsApp group. So obviously, I didn't see the WhatsApp group. I went out that night. I went to sleep and I'm thinking, right, I just need to be up at this time.
Yeah.
If you're changing the call time, send me a PM. Don't drop it in the global group where it can get missing. So obviously, they dropped it there. Next morning, I'm making my way for the call time and the time I think I should be there. I get this call when I'm heading there. She's like, where are you? I was like, I'm on my way to you. Why? And he was like, you should have been here 2 hours ago. I was like, what do you mean? It was like, we changed the call time. And I was like, well, where did you put it? They were like, put it in the group. You should have seen. I was like, you changed the call time for a film where I was a character that you wanted me to be there. And you didn't tell me any, no private message, no call, no email.
They could have just called you, to be fair.
You know what I mean? They just posted it in the group and they just hoped I had seen it. They didn't even check if I had seen it. So then, what ended up happening is I didn't make it to set that day because I was going to be too late. So they ended up recasting me.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They moved like that?
Yeah, they recast me like that. And then...
That's ridiculous.
And then they were like, oh, well... And then the lady was... The director or the writer was like... She said, well, we feel bad. We're not going to leave you not be any character. So...
That's silly.
I was then an extra character, which was... The immigration officer. That's who I played.
That's dumb.
Played the immigration officer.
Is that Adam Ewan?
I had a script. I had actual lines.
That's not professional at all.
They recast just like that. The film's not even come out yet.
Maybe the film won't come out. I don't know. No.
They filmed some of it here, some of it in Sierra Leone, apparently. But I haven't seen any footage, not even a trailer. But like, obviously,
good luck to them,
like, huh? I was saying before, that was just like the screen experience that I got from you. It was great. I can use that as a map to of what a good production should look like. I've been in bad productions.
Thank you.
Yeah, same. I don't take scripts for the sake of it.
I mean, there were certain times. I mean, we've had our good days and we've had our bad days. There's been times when I've had to be stripped. I've had to be, I've had to be the director first before the friend.
Yeah.
And, and I've had to do things that I don't particularly like, but it comes with the territory.
That's true, man. Can we see these pictures?
You want to see it? Okay, the post.
See these pictures?
Yeah, man.
See what I look like on the billboard.
Oh, yeah.
don't get all top secret with me.
So this is what I'm about to show you.
Yeah.
Is the poster for the film.
Okay.
Alright. Are we ready?
Okay.
We're ready as can be.
There we go.
That actually looks hard.
My name's cut off.
Yeah. It's not like three actors.
I know, man.
I know, right? That's cool, man. It's cool. It's cool.
My name's in the middle, peeps. My name's in the middle, you know.
Yeah, that's the post. So what I want to ask you guys, I mean, I don't know if you guys want a 30 by 40 picture of me in your room. But
I want the other one.
You want the other one?
Yeah, the one with my name on it.
That's landscape.
I don't care, bro. That has my name on it.
No, you'll get that. Everyone's going to get that okay. one. But that's not going to be big, obviously. That's like a...
No, I want it big.
I'm gonna give this to my
because it has my name on it.
This like, one. Do you want a big? Do you want a big size?
Yeah. Unless you can mock up another one and put my name on it.
Because what it is,
like that's the only reason why I wanted it. Like it has my name on it. Yeah, bro, it has my name on it.
But you see, with this year, I can't make this one big.
Why?
Because.
Why can't you turn it the other way and just make it big, bro?
I might have to talk off camera, but
okay.
What I'm saying is, with this,
yeah,
there are technical difficulties with this one.
Because it's landscape, isn't it?
Not even just because it's landscape, because of the canvas, because of the canvas shoes. Like there was technical difficulties with this one. Yeah. And this isn't even landscape. But to make this one the size that I wanted, we had to redo it again. Oh yeah, there you go. Do you understand? So that one,
hey man,
won't be big.
Like I said, unless you can remock that one and put my name on it,
it's not possible. Even the whole name thing, the way I had it in the first place, I didn't have anyone's name on it.
Yeah, but now there's names, and my name was on the first one, and now it's not on the second one.
Dominic said the same thing, and then if he's listening, he knows. He said the same. He wasn't happy either.
I'm not happy about that shit.
Not on it.
But the poster is good, right?
Now the poster's good, but name though.
So what you're gonna put with Dominic? You might as well put with.
The names. That's what everyone's gonna see.
I can't put everyone's name on it.
I know.
That's the truth.
But you might still the show. They might be like, what's his name? It's not even there, is it? Yeah, but he still the show. Let's go speak to him. That make people come and speak to you. What's your name? See, though, you didn't even thought about that, did you? No. They already know my name. Damn it.
Yeah, man, that sounds cool.
Like, I want to know his name.
Anyway, guys, before I forget.
Yeah, man.
Master's Paradise.
Yeah.
The 30th of March.
Yeah.
We got a trailer dropping tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
We got the official poster dropping tomorrow.
By tomorrow, you mean you need to say a date because this episode comes out next week, Thursday.
Oh, wow, yes.
On the 22nd.
So.
By the time this is uploaded, it'll already be there.
Yeah, I guess.
Basically.
Yeah.
You know, let's just go with that. Yeah. I shouldn't say a date, but...
Where could you find it?
Yeah, where can I find this trailer?
Oh, you can find it on Marcy Cillian's Instagram page.
Oh, you mean the information that's going to be in the description, Justin? Oh.
Yeah. Or DNA.
Yes. What he just said. It's kind of late. I'm getting kind of tired, yeah.
Yeah, man. It's cool.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Cool.
You got anything to plug, Dante?
We got the premiere, obviously, on the 24th.
Yep.
Premiere.
Which is sold out.
Sold out. Premiere.
Say that again. Sold out.
Sold out in six days.
Yeah. Sold out in 6 days.
Yeah.
Six days.
Views from the six.
But no, honestly, please check out Marcel's Paradise. I made this from my heart. I made this with passion. I made it with, like, you know, with people that I know, with the way they talk. And I scripted it the best that I could. We worked really, really hard on this. Late nights, it was cold. We did this all during the winter. This was no joke. So, and there's vision, there's intention in it. And right now we are going through like a serious period with this whole black movement, and it's beautiful. And this just adds to that. This is raw. We did it guerrilla style. It's everything, baby. So please watch Marcel's Paradise.
And you heard it.
If you hate it, if you love it, let me know.
Why do I feel that's going to be a chat line now? Hey, girl, you're going to give it a style. What is that shit, honey? Wait, we didn't even touch the popcorn. It's gorilla style, bro.
Shout out to Dominic. Shout out to MD. Yeah. No. F that. Shout out to Stella. Shout out to Jamelia. Shout out to Miles. Shout out to Lan, Ben, Leah. Shout out to motherfucking Jordan. Jeez. Shout out to motherfucking Colin. Jeez. Shout out to motherfucking Dante. Jeez. And shout out to the motherfucking greatest Marcy Leon, baby.
Shout out to me. Shout out to me, who was the A&R who brought in Fatima and Dominic. Woo!
I ain't gonna take this. We ain't gonna turn this into a But yeah.
Hey man. Thank you guys for coming in.
It's been amazing. This has been wonderful.
Yeah, man, it's a great platform,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
It's just fun to just have a conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, guys at home, I hope you enjoyed this very special episode that will be released on a Thursday before the premiere of Marcel's Paradise, which is perfect timing.
Perfect.
So if you listen to it at that point, you're amazing. If not, you're slacking. I hope that you enjoyed My Opinion Means Nothing, and if you didn't, more for you for dipping around for, what is this, an hour and 20 minutes and listening to all our guys' opinions and just thinking it was shit, but you stuck around. Why? Anyway, thank you for listening if you enjoyed it, and I'm out. Bye, guys.
Peace.
Peace, man.
It's been wonderful. Peace.